Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Man, what a great journey. You know, I've had so many people that have heard me talk about this, heard me do this, said, you know, Joe, for the first time, I finally did it. I finally went through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He said, man, what a great trip it was. There was so much I did not know, so much that began to make sense. It's what the Bible does. The Bible's not a hard book. It wasn't written for deep, complicated people. It was written for simple-minded people. God's real good. That's why children used to love to hang out with Jesus. Every time Jesus went somewhere, kids around him all the time. Now, I know something about kids. Kids like fun people. They don't like rude people. They don't like mean people. They don't like selfish people. Kids like fun people, and kids are hanging off Jesus all the time. Matter of fact, the apostles got upset a couple times. Said, Jesus, send these kids home. He said, no. And Jesus pointed to the kids, said, for such the kingdom of God is this right here. Said, if you offend one of these kids that believe in me, you might as well hang a millstone around your neck and drown yourself in the Sea of Galilee. It will be much better for you than offend one of these little ones. God was real big because I've always said the church is one generation away from being extinct. We're always just one generation away from not existing. So you got to do something. You got to learn how to do and say and believe the word of God. So today we're going to call this water and food because they've left Egypt. The whole Egyptian army has drowned. They're all dead. The enemy's gone. And so this is in Exodus chapter 15. We're going to pick this up. We're headed somewhere neat. We're headed somewhere special. So Exodus 15, starting around verse 22. After the Israelites had celebrated their great deliverance from the Egyptian army, they began to march across the wilderness of Shut. The country was not like the land of Goshen. There was no waving fields of grain, no grassy pasture lands for their flocks and herds. By and by, they came to a camping place called Marah. Man, they were thirsty. Cattle needed water, too. Everybody was hot, and they're tired from the long march across the wilderness. You know, I've traveled most of my life and pull into a convenience store and get a big bottle of water, big cold bottle of water. Man, it tastes so good. When you're thirsty, man, there's nothing like a good cold drink of water. And so you just guzzle it down. Well, there was no bottle of water. Had no 7-Eleven, no Quick Trip. There's no bottle of water. They're thirsty. They stop. There's 2.5 million of them. If there was water, how are we going to spread this around? And so, man, they're miserable. And think, man, why did we leave? Don't think they're not murmuring. So at Marah, the Israelites were happy to find a spring of water. But when they taste the water, it was so bitter, they wouldn't even swallow it. Again, they're trying to drink. No, it's just so bad. Now they start blaming Moses again for their troubles. What shall we drink? They said. Moses, too, was thirsty. He felt sorry for everybody. He cried to God for help, and God told him what to do. Near the spring grew a tree. God told Moses, cut the tree, throw it in the spring. Moses did this. The water became sweet. The people drank deep, and they were sad. Man, they're guzzling down. They got their face in that water. They're guzzling. There was plenty of water for them, for the cattle, and for the sheep. So God wanted to teach the people to trust him for help when trouble comes. He said, listen, if you will do what is right in my sight, it will be well with you. I will be with you, and I'll be your healer. From the camp at Marah, the Israelites moved on until they found a beautiful grove of palm trees and the 12 wells of water. The name of this place is Elim. Here the people pitched their tents beneath the trees, and they drank from the wells. Man, they were happy to find such a place. Man, camping near this, man, we finally got something. Well, in chapter 16, the Israelites enjoyed their rest at Elim, but the cloud of God's presence lifted and began to move slowly ahead. By this sign, the people knew that God wanted to lead them further on their journey. So they took down their tents, packed up everything, gathered their cattle, gathered their sheep, and they start moving again. Now they entered a great desert coming between Elim and the mountain where God had spoken to Moses from the burning bush. The country is called the Wilderness of Sin. Well, if this is making it a great name dropper, where are we at? Where we're in sin. What is the name of the city? Sin. What's the name of this county? Sin. What is this country? It's the country of sin. It's the wilderness of sin. Like fretful children, the Israelites begin to find fault with Moses again. They're blaming Aaron again. First it was one thing, then it was another. There was little food to eat in this great wilderness. They grew hungry. I mean, you ever been around somebody that's hungry? They are not happy. God designed humans to drink and eat. First thing, when we get to heaven, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Drink and eat. So, and he said, they forgot how much they'd suffered in Egypt. They forgot how many times God had helped them out of trouble. They thought only of how hungry and unhappy they were. Man, we wish we had never left Egypt, they said. Man, we had plenty of meat, plenty of bread. You brought us out into this wilderness to die of hunger. You, God, he's just crazy. He's out here to, God brought us out here to kill us. Now, it hurt Moses to hear the people complain. God heard them too, and he told Moses, the people are sinning against me. They find fault with you for leading them out of Egypt. I will not let them die of hunger. I want them to know that I can be the giver of all their blessings. In the evening, I will send meat to them. And in the morning, I will give them bread from heaven. So in the evening, quail flew into camp, and the people had it for meat. The next morning, it looked like white frost covering the ground. What is this? The people asked when they looked out of their tents. In their language, the word man, manu, meant what is this? Manu, manu. Rather, so they call it. So the people began to say to each other, manu, manu, what is this? What is this? It became known as manna. The Hebrew word manna means what is this? What is this manna? What is this? We don't even know what this is. When the sun grew hot, the manna melted to the ground. Moses told the people that God had sent this food to be their bread. Go and gather, he said, get as much as you will need today. Do not keep any for tomorrow, for God will send a fresh supply every day. Every morning he will cause the bread to fall, except on the seventh day. On the sixth day, you must gather twice as much as usual, and what is left over, then you'll keep for the seventh day. It will not spoil because God wants you to keep that day holy and do no work. Moses' word, the people rushed out and gathered manna from the ground. They made it into cakes. Oh, how good it tasted. Like wafers made with honey. Now, some of the people did not obey Moses. I tried to keep the manna from one day to the next, but the bread spoiled. Some people did not gather twice as much on the sixth day. They went out on the Sabbath. They could find no manna. Except on the Sabbath, God sent manna to the Israelites every morning until they reached the land of Canaan. How long this happened? The whole trip. Exodus chapter 17, leaving the wilderness of sin, the Israelites came to the place called Rephidim. Here again, the cloud stopped as a sign that they should make camp and rest from the journey. But the people began to complain at once. Although God was sending them bread every day, they led them to a place where there was no water. Man, they're thirsty again. Instead of asking God to help, the people complained to Moses. What'd you do? It's your fault. We start pointing fingers at one another. Did you bring us out of Egypt to die of thirst here? Moses asked God, what shall I do for my people? They're so angry, and they're almost ready to kill me. The Lord answered, take the elders of Israel. Go to Mount Horeb. When you strike the rock with a rod, water will come out. Then all the people can drink. Moses did what the Lord commanded. With the elders, he went to Mount Horeb, and there were no springs or rivers in sight. When Moses struck the rock, a stream of clear water began to flow out. Down the mountainside and into the valleys, the water ran. All the people hurried to drink. Because the people did not trust God for help, Moses was ashamed of them. And he scolded them for doubting God. He said, man, you gotta believe God. And so in Exodus chapter 17, in this country lived a wild people called Amalekites. When the Israelites camped at Rephidim, the Amalekites attacked them. Now, do you understand? Israel's left Egypt. They've been slaves for 400 years. They're grabbing, can't get any water, can't get any food. God supplies water. God supplies food. I mean, God is moving with them. Moses chose a brave young man called Joshua to lead the Israelites against their enemies. Moses told Joshua, choose men to fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with God's rod in my hand. The next morning, Moses, Aaron, and Hur watched the battle from the hilltop. Moses stretched out his arms toward heaven and asked God to help his people. In Moses' hand was the rod. At first, the men of Israel drove the enemies back into the wilderness. Then Moses' arm became very tired from holding up the rod. When his arms fell to his size, the Amalekites turned and ran and drove the men of Israel back. Moses lifted up the rod toward heaven again. The Israelites began to win. This time, Aaron and Hur found a larger stone for Moses to sit on. Then they stood beside him and held up his arms all day. At evening, when the battle was over, Joshua returned to camp with his men. The people knew. How many times have you heard? The people knew God had helped them drive their enemies away. And thanks to God, Moses built an altar to this place. And that begins to work. So what a story. What's going on? God's trying to bless his people. God wants to bless his people. God's always wanted to bless his people. What's he need? He needs them to trust him. He said, what do you need? I need you to trust me. And so every story, one of the greatest thing I've ever learned, people say, what'd you learn in the Bible? So I went to two great Bible schools. I got 2 degrees in theology. Well, I learned a lot at school, but mostly I learned the Bible reading a children's Bible storybook. So where'd you learn all this? Going through a children's Bible storybook 10 times in 10 years. It's a simple story. God's good. People, devil's bad and people are stupid. What is it? You need to trust God. From Genesis, we need God says, I need you to trust me. What did Adam do? Adam and Eve, they trusted the devil instead of trusting God. They got fired, evicted, and they can start killing each other. It's the same story from Genesis to Revelation. In Revelation, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. You know, I'm so proud of you. You've done what's good. You've done what's right. You've sacrificed. He's so proud of them. God always points out, all I need, I don't need a perfect people. I don't need a strong people. I need people that will trust me. Have faith in God. It's a real simple statement. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, one translation says. What is it? I just choose to believe God. Why do you know it's true? I just believe it is. Well, were you alive back then? Have you ever met Jesus? Not personally face to face, but yeah, I know Jesus. Well, you know, have you ever been to heaven? No, I'm going to go there one day, but hadn't been yet. Why do you know it even exists? I just believe it. I believe, therefore I receive it. It's what God wants. God said, you believe me? Every time Jesus did a miracle in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time you read it all the way through, every time he did it, he usually said this statement. Do you believe I can do this? He had the father with the boy that's demon possessed, kept throwing himself in the fire. He's going to deliver me. He said, do you believe I can do this? And he said, well, is that important? Jesus said, yes, I'm God. There's nothing I can't do, but I'm limited by what you believe I can do. Now, this is in your own Bible. Jesus said, I am limited by what you believe I can do. Do you believe I can do this? And the man said, well, Lord, I believe. Can you help my unbelief? And Jesus said, yes, I can. I can even do that. And so the boy got delivered and healed that self same hour. God wants to bless, but he needs somebody to trust him. I go back, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. 1 Peter 5, without faith, you cannot resist the devil. Without faith, you cannot resist the devil. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do you get faith? Read your Bible. It's just real simple. I've read my Bible when I didn't feel like it. I'm tired. I'm frustrated, or I'm confused. That's the best time to open that book up. I'm telling you, just read a proverb a day. Just get your Bible. Just read a proverb. Read a verse of proverb a day. That's more than most people are doing. Just open up, you know, whatever the day is, you know, it's like if you say, well, today's the 18th. Well, read Proverbs 18. Just read the first 3 verses. I would do it with my kids. I said, listen, let's just read 1 verse a week. And I put it on 3 by 5 cards. I'd give, here's your card for the week. Memorize this 1 verse. This 1 verse can save your life. Give you wisdom. Give you direction. It comes from the word of God. If you meditate in the word day and night, Joshua 1:8. If you meditate in the word day and night, 3 John 2. If you meditate in the word day and night, Psalms 1:1-3. If you meditate in the word day and night, you will prosper and have good success. It didn't say you wouldn't have opposition. Everybody has opposition. Even Jesus had opposition, but we would overcome. We'd be more than a conqueror. We'd be blessed and highly favored. We've got a great life, guys. Let's live it to the fullest. Let's don't live it halfway. Let's go to heaven shouting. Amen. Let's finish strong. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.